Burzingham 2000 History Project on the 15th of April 1999. Please may I have your full name?
Geoffrey Allen Roll.
Yes, and have you lived in the village all your life?
All my life.
And when were you born?
I was born in 1932 and I'm now 66.
Thank you. And do any other members of your family live in the village?
Well, one of my children live in the village. One live in Inglethorpe, but not my brothers and sisters.
Right. Now, you say you were born here, so did your parents live here?
My parents lived in number 7 Garden Cottages, Durzen, that is no longer there, near the Don Cow.
Right.
Which
yes.
is now Budgeons.
Ah, right. And do you go back any further than that?
No.
You're not your grandparents?
I spent a lot of my time then moving from garden cottages up to the house that I now live in, and I live with my grandparents.
Right, so you know the village pretty well.
Very well.
Right, now I want you to go right back in your mind and tell me everything you can remember about being a little lad in this village.
Well, one of the things was having to walk to school. Everybody had to walk to school, some a lot further than the others. Playing up on the common. With the small toys and that, there was never no fear of being mugged or anything like that.
When you say small toys, what do
well,
you mean?
Well, dinky toys. We used to go up there and play in that sand. Used to play lots of games on the common, and of course the other common wasn't grown up like it is now.
Now when you say the other common, because for people who've only moved here, which is the common as opposed to the...
Well,
the
one is named as the open common and one is the shut-up common.
Really? That's what it was called
then? That was called a shut-up common.
But today, is the shut-up common the bit, the other side of Heath Road?
Is the other side of Heath Road.
And the other one is the main one that looks down onto the bypass.
And every Saturday, I used to go with my grandfather to the bottom school near the Coach and Horses. We used to sweep up all the yard and clean out all the cinder muck and cart that up to the shut up common in a handbarrow where it was pulled like a handcart. And then at night, after 10 o'clock, the night soil collection was done.
Oh, because there weren't any sewers, were there?
And I spent a heck of a lot of time with him.
Right. When you say the cinders, now presumably they had solid fuel burners?
Open fire, like we have in this house now. A big open fire with the big black guard round it. And very often if you stood too close to it, you would burn your legs on the metal work.
Because you would have little short trousers on there.
That's right, yes. Yeah.
And how many classrooms were there?
One, two, three. I should think about five. And I can remember to be exact.
So every one of these classrooms had a...
Had an open fire, yeah.
So whose job was it to actually see to the fires? Was it the children's job?
Or oh, I think there was a caretaker early in the morning and the fires were lit for the people, for the children. But at the end of the week, when all the stuff was cleared out at the end of the day, that was put into a big bin and we used to go and empty the bin.
Right, and were you paid for this?
No, I wasn't. I was just a helper for my granddad.
Right.
That was his job.
So you were helping him out?
I was helping him out, yeah. Right. Of course, we used to have to sweep up all the leaves, because there was a big oak tree in that school, as you probably remember, with a seat round it.
Yes. Right.
Well, that's now been tarmac, but that weren't then.
No, no. And they tell me, that was there a stream somewhere along there?
The emblems up at the top, and during the wartime we used to have gas masks on and we used to have to go up to the top there and go down into the trenches, because they said that if ever there was an air raid or a threat of war, we would have to go up the top flag and down into the trenches for shelter, and they were dug directly behind the school on the emblems.
Really? And they were dug, were they specially for the school children?
For the school children, yes.
And did you used to have to take the gas masks to school?
Yes, you carried that all with you all the time. Like a satchel.
And presumably practiced every.
Well, there was times when they did make you go through a little gas chamber. They brought a mobile thing at the school and you walked through it and tested your gas mask. But you never went without.
No. What sort of things did you like at school in those days?
Well, I think everything. I mean, sport. We played lots of sport. We used to go out on what now is the football field, or Durston football field. We used to go out there and play out there. There was carpentry, cookery. I took part in everything I think I had a chance to take part in.
I think from what I can gather that all the boys and girls did. You were very much children who joined in everything, weren't you?
Yes, I think so.
You didn't stand about like they do today in the yard at school saying they're cold.
No, I don't think so. I think everybody joined in. I mean, you used to go for walks. The teacher would take so many at a time for walks. No, I think I thoroughly enjoyed my years at the school.
And I think you learned to cook, didn't you?
We used to cook in the, I think it was the chapel the other side of the road, or once was a chapel. And we used to learn to cook in there, and we done woodwork in there.
Right. Yes. So you were learning to be grown-ups.
Yes, gardening as well, because we had our own garden there, where the fire station is now, going up the hill. We all used to do a little piece of gardening.
Lovely. Now, a lot of the people have told me that they used to have to work for money at weekends and after school to help out their families, because everybody seemed to be very poor.
Well, I think we all did. I worked for a lady, Mrs. Stovell. I always remember going to hers every night after school and getting in cool coconut anthracite and doing a little bit of gardening and things like that. How I come to work there was to get her cat from down from a tree that got stuck up a tree. And she came for me twice to do that, and then she gave me a job.
Right, and so she would give you some spending money?
Oh, yes, yes.
Because they seemed to do lots of work, working for the shops and things, because there were quite a lot of shops, weren't there?
Well, I worked for the, I suppose then, Mr. Tarrington the Butcher in Manor Road, yeah. Saturday morning deliveries. There was another man in the village, Fred Houchin, I used to go with him, he was the driver, had a little tiny awesome van.
Yes, that's right. I've heard a lot about Mr. Houchin and how his bus company started and so on. Right, so you used to help out with, and you did you keep the money or did you have to give it over to your parents?
No, that was, what little it was pocket money for us.
Yes, and what did you spend your pocket money on?
Well, it was sweets mainly. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Because you didn't used to save for sort of big expensive toys because there didn't seem to be any.
No, I don't think it would. If you wanted anything and from Kingsland or something like that, you'd save up the food pence and buy it. I suppose Woolworths would be the main shop then to buy a toy from, cheapest.
Yeah, yeah. And you say you mostly played with the boys with little cars?
Yes, up on the common. I remember the children quite well I played with. That was a place where we used to go up there, also riding on the shut-up fen. On hills, on bicycles.
Right. I bet you damaged them as well.
Well, that's where we used to spend our time, because there wasn't much else.
No.
I mean, we used to spend the time up on the common. You could do what you liked up there. And
yeah, and have a good time. Now, most of the boys seem to have become apprenticed when they left school to Sandringham. Is that what happened to you when you finished school?
No, but I went up on the farm as a boy after my 10th birthday, holidays and holidays, because there was a job for 5 or 6 boys helping out the cart and father for all the cattle, pigs, cows and that kind of thing. It was a job Saturday mornings and holidays and harvest time. And I went there after my 10th birthday and got involved in the farm work. And of course, by living up here, we used to play up there. Not only work up there, but we used to play around that area, riding the horses and whatnot. And that's how we come to be involved with the farm and stay with the farm ever since.
Right. So, all your working life, you have worked with the farm. Now, when you say the farm, you don't mean Sandringham?
No, Mr. Stanton's farm.
Mr. Stanton's farm. Right. So, when did you officially start work? When you were 14?
I officially started work at 14, but I'd spent 4 years before that on the farm
doing jobs as a boy. Yes.
And yes. I started at 14 years old, full-time work.
Yeah.
I left school and I went to King's Lynn to work, I think, for about a fortnight.
Is that all?
At Dodman's, the Boilermakers.
Right.
And that was 18 shillings and ninepence a week. 5 shillings was my bus fare. 10 shillings was for my mother, and the rest was for me.
Which wasn't very much rest.
And that wasn't only about 3 and ninepence for me. Yes. So I left and went on the farm, and I got £2.50 a week.
And you didn't have the expense of travelling.
I wasn't there long before I joined a piecework gang. And there was some weeks we earned as much as £10 and £12 a week.
Now, could you explain what you mean by piecework gang?
Well, the more you work, the harder you work, the more money you earn.
Right. So there wasn't it wasn't like today where people get so much a week.
A standard wage. No, you worked as hard as you could, and the more you was paid for that job.
Yes.
Not all jobs were piecework.
No.
Some was a standard wage, but some were put out at piecework rate.
Right. And what was piecework rate?
Well, that varied.
I see.
That varied.
Depending on the kind of job.
On the job.
So, give us some examples of the kind of jobs you would do as part of your day.
Well, the seasons. I mean, there was a tight picking season where I joined a gang of 9 women. And I was the 10th person tight picking. We used to grow potatoes down the marsh. We had a lot of potatoes.
Now, you're talking about the marsh down by the sea?
Down by the station.
Yes.
What was.
Yes.
And we used to grow a lot of potatoes down there. Sugar beet, that was done piecework. Knocking and topping. Carting was all done by hand. With horses and carts. And then, of course, as we moved on to tractors and trailers. But that was all piecework.
Right. And you say you were on a team of just lots of girls or ladies?
Yes, there was.
Were you sort of in charge of the team?
No. I was only one member of the team. There was 9 ladies worked there, and I helped out. I made up like the 10th. I was a young boy, and I used to go potato picking.
Yeah. When you say potato picking, you mean sorting them over?
No, that's riddling.
Ah.
Potato picking is picking them up off the ground in baskets, and carting them up to a hail, and hailing them up, and storing them for the winter.
Right.
And then we went on to riddle them. And that was sort out the big ones from the little ones, and the good ones from the bad ones.
And stones. Were sold. I suppose there must have been stones.
Stones and clods, especially down the marsh.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, we had some happy days down there.
Yes, I bet. Especially him and 9 ladies.
Well, there was a lot of other men down there. And of course, a lot of that work was done with horses and carts.
Yes.
Carting these tractors. And then, of course, they did move on to tractors and trailers.
Yes. Just going off a point, when the floods came in the 50s...
1953.
Yes. Did that affect the work you had to do down there?
I mean, most certainly did, because that was salt water and the land was left lying dormant for quite some period of time. That wasn't tilled. I think some people tilled theirs much sooner than we did.
So eventually they were able to grow the potatoes again?
Yes.
Down there.
There is some woods down there that I often look at now when we walk down there that I helped to set. Mr. Richard Stanton, he had a pit pulled out down there, a shape of a horseshoe, a duck pit, and we set the wood beyond it.
A duck pit?
A duck pit. There, he used to like to go duck shooting, and he had it pulled out in the shape of a horseshoe.
And filled with water.
Yes.
Now, isn't the one now that's down that right down the bottom? That's a different one, isn't it?
No, they were right at the very bottom, was pulled out to make the bank up when the tide bridged the bank.
Yeah.
And they pulled them bits out to get them out to make the bank up.
Right. So you helped to, and that little place with the pond, is it still there now?
I don't know, is it, sir?
Yeah.
It's still there.
Right.
What state is in, I don't know now.
Well, you ought to go down and have a look.
Well, that's on private land now, isn't it? That belongs to His Royal Highness.
In actual fact, it's by, it's got a little wood beside it. It was called Prisoner's Wood, because it's farmed by...
And it's on the left-hand side as you go down, is it?
I don't know, actually, Gloria, you'll know this wood, because it's... You go right down the marsh road, and you turn right, and it's on your right.
Ah,
so you wouldn't see it from the main road.
You're actually going inland, into the private marsh.
Right, yes. Right, so you did the potatoes and so on. So what other jobs were doing? Because obviously there was a lot more, as you say, work by hand in those days.
There was a lot of work, especially... Well, you did make a little list and went through, like... Yeah. Jobs, there was thrashing, cutting the corn with a binder, tying it up, then you had to stand it all up, the shoals, that stood there and that ripened on the shock, and then that was picked up and carted and stacked up, and then in the winter months that was thrashed out. But there was a lot of handwork involved in that.
And did you have to work in teams? Did people have to be brought in specially for that particular job?
No, because when I joined the farm there were 45 men.
Right.
So there was a lot of people. There was odd people that come and helped out for short periods of time, but they mainly had all their own staff.
Right.
And there would be a gang go out and set up the shoals, a gang cart it, and a gang what thrashed it. Took about 9 to 10 men to thrash it.
Now, when you say thrash, what does it actually mean?
Well, that's to take the kernels of corn from the actual straw.
So you beat it?
No, it went through a drum, a thrashing machine.
Right.
And one of my jobs as a boy then was a chaff boy. To catch the chaff, to bring home, put in the chaff house to feed the horses.
So nothing was wasted?
Nothing was wasted. When you used to catch the floats from the corn, and that's the husk what's round the ears of corn, used to catch that, and we also used to cut chaff, cut straw up into small pieces to feed the horses.
Right, so that the horses during the winter would depend upon some of this old chaff?
Yes, that's what they were fed on, that and rolled oats and any other bits and pieces they could get.
Right.
And we as boys looked after our horses and used to give them that little bit extra.
You mean you were responsible for a horse?
Yes, that was your job all day. You yoked one up in the morning first thing, and you looked after that as your responsibility the whole working day, and you used that horse to do whatever jobs you wanted to
really?
Do.
Really? So, I mean, how many horses were there altogether?
I think about 16 when I went there.
Right, so each man had his own horse?
No,
to be responsible.
There was two teammen who looked after a team of horses. They were split in two.
Right.
And then you was detailed each day you went there to take a certain horse and do the jobs that you was allotted for the day.
Right.
But you probably wouldn't get that same horse every day.
So you didn't have a horse that was yours?
No.
Right.
But the boys on the horse and carts, they used to try and get a good little horse that they kept and looked after. Of course, you had that job mainly every day, carting fodder. But you did have other jobs, tilling the land, like harrowing and rolling, and various jobs. I mean, in the harvest time, for a boy, there was horse rake, hay season, there was hay turners. There's two hay turners on the farm that are not there now.
When you say hay turning...
Turning the hay.
So that a different side got the...
Yes, got so the sun and dried out to make the hay.
Right.
One of the jobs I always remember, like the peas, they used to be cut with grass cutters, two grass cutters, and men stood all the way around the field and turned these. They had a short piece each to turn with a fork. Turn it away so the horses could walk round again, and that was till the peas were cut. And they were turned like that by hand.
Really? Just men and horses?
Men and horses.
And no machines?
No, not at that time.
Well, of course, they hadn't invented the very I mean, nowadays everything is done by machine, isn't it?
Everything. And the work was a lot easier. There isn't the lift and the hard work. Everything was done by hand. Moving the corn, harvest times especially, tremendous amount of corn had to be moved by hand. Was all cut and bagged up on a combine, dropped on the floor, people picked it up, took it down to the manor house, and there that was dried, went through a dryer, came out the other end, bagged up again, and stored up, then ready to be sold.
Ah, and then it would be sold to...
a merchant.
Right. Whose job it was to turn it into flour?
Well, where that went from then, I don't know. I presume they sold it then on and to the mills and for grinding for food and various other things, cattle fodder.
When I was a little girl, we used to love playing near haystacks. Now, did you have such a thing as haystacks?
Yes, we had haystacks and we used to cut them. When we used to use them for feed, we used to cut them with a cutting knife, a hay knife, and you'd cut a section at a time so you didn't uncover all the stacks so it got wet, because they was built and then thatched to keep the water out.
Right.
So we used to cut a section like you'd cut a cake, a piece at a time, and take off what we want, and that was then fed to the animals.
Right, so that stack would last quite a long time.
Quite a long time.
And of course by the time it got to the end of the winter, then the animals would be able to eat what was growing, presumably.
We also did, one year we had a big pit in the ground to make silage, and we used to cover that up, and then when that was the winter time, we'd open it up and feed it to the animals. And we also had that cooked potatoes in there. We steamed potatoes.
What, in the...
We steamed potatoes and we put them in this pit and then covered them over. And when the time autumn came, we'd go in there and dig out what we wanted.
And were they cooked?
They were cooked, steamed. And that's how they were kept.
So they were like almost cooking all the time?
Yes. They was cooked, steamed, put in this pit, and then vacuum sealed.
Right. And they didn't rot?
No.
That's amazing.
And you used to go and cut out what you wanted, load them on a cart, and take them to the cow.
So the cattle ate this cooked potato as well. It was a continual round of feeding animals.
Yes, because we had one, two, three, I think five barns or buildings on the actual farm that all contained cattle. And we had to cart to each place. A lot of them was fed differently to the others. They mainly had like mangels, kale, and some had different bits and pieces. All depends on their ages, what they was fed on.
Right. So so the main things from the farm were cows and sheep.
Bullocks. Yeah, not cows. We did have a few cows at one time, cow herd, but they were bullocks.
Why was that? I mean, why?
Well, they were fattened at that time of day. They were fattened and they were went over 2 years old before they were sold. And they went mostly to the Italian markets because they were big, fat animals.
And they wanted good, strong meat.
Yes, but now they don't go nowhere near as long. They're sold much earlier.
Because we've all got used to very pale, not the lovely, strong, flavoured meat. Yes.
And of course, sheep was another big thing. We've always had a lot of sheep.
Yes, because you see them now, today, they're down on the bottom field, aren't they?
And in the winter of 1947, we had all these roads blocked around here, and they was blocked from, I think, from the December until the first and second week of April.
Yeah, that was that terrible, terrible winter, wasn't it? With
very bad
snow.
Winter.
Yes.
We had to walk everywhere, but we couldn't go by road, so we had to go by the fields from place to place to these buildings to get the fodder in for the animals.
Yes.
But a lot of the places was far too deep of snow.
So where did all the animals go during that weather?
Well, most of them were shut up in barns, but the sheep that were out in the field stayed out there. We used to have to go and get them up in the mornings and drive them up to the troughs to feed. Another one of my jars as a boy was stubborn turnips. They would eat them off ground level, and you went and got the little bit that was in the ground
that they couldn't get to.
They couldn't get to, and you stuck that out.
Did you, I mean, that particularly bad winter, did you lose a lot of sheep?
No, we did lose some sheep in the lambing yard, because the lambing yard got full of snow, and a gang of us went up there with the horse and carts, made a way up there, and carted the snow out of the lambing yard and out onto an open field so we could get to do our work. Mm. The sheep that were buried were alive, and some of them, what was outside, though they were inside, but they were uncovered, they died.
Yes, they died of cold.
Yeah, but then what were buried, what we dug out, were alive. That was a very bad winter.
It must have been awful, yes, to lose all those animals, yes. Right, so you've got cows and you've got sheep. Anything else that you did?
Well, we had pigs. We had a pigsty down in the lower yard. Where Richard Stanton kept pigs.
Now, when you say the lower yard, is that the one just near the
manor
church?
The manor house near the church.
Yes.
That's where the pigs were kept.
Right.
And that finally became a tater store. And then we had a big glass store for chicken and potatoes built.
Right. So, for people who are in the village now, basically so they know that the sheep were kept, not only kept on the big field down by the church hall where they are at the moment. You can actually see them at the moment.
Yes.
Hundreds of sheep in that field. Apart from the fact that the field is part of the Stanton farm, is it a very good field for the sheep, because they seem to thrive on it?
Well, I think that there's several fields around that area that are used for sheep. They are wet at times, so
yes,
they're not used for nothing else.
Because it's marshy there, isn't it?
Yes. Dykes all run through there, and I suppose all the dykes make their way down the marsh to the beach. But we also have sheep on other grass fields up on the farm and on other crops. And that time of day we used to grow a lot of kale and swedes, and the hoggets were put out on them.
The hoggets?
No, well, they were fattening for use for eating.
Over-eared lambs.
Over-eared lambs.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Right. Anything else? Can you remember, if you look at your list?
We used to have a lot of fun in that card in them days of catching rabbits. Another thing I did mention to the boss, that I don't know if anybody know about in the field, but when I was a young boy, up the road here was a searchlight.
Somebody has mentioned it before, somebody who lived along here, yes. Well, was it to do with the war?
It was to do with the war.
Right.
And there is a little bit of the footing still left, and the field is now called Searchlight High Field.
And we're talking about, for people listening, the top of Dodds Hill?
Yes, on the Linghouse Road.
Right.
And as children we were very interested in that, because that was such a powerful light, and that was searching the sky for enemy aeroplanes.
Yeah.
So that... That is, and there was also another thing I did mention, is the Home Guard. A lot, my father was in the Home Guard, my grandfather was in the RAP, as an ear rape warden, and he would go out night times and make sure people hadn't got lights shining.
Yes, because you weren't allowed to show a chink, were you?
No, you had a bicycle light with only a little tiny slit through metal.
Yeah.
Car lights were the same. These are some of the things that stick out in my mind as a young child. And then going down down the hill, you would very often have one of the Home Guard and that jump out on you, and who goes there? Friend or foe sort of effort.
Yeah, is that what you used to have to say?
No, they would ask you that.
Yeah, who goes there, friend or foe?
Because we used to go down to George King the barber's and sit in his hut. That was warm. We very often sit in there for night time, and of course that'd be dark when you come back, and then
you'd be groping around trying to find your way.
They'd want to know who you was.
Yes, because presumably they assume that there could be Germans who'd come in off the coast.
I think they was always aware of that, weren't they? What was going on, and so they just find out who you are for all that. You was children. as we move on, I spoke to Miss Stanton about this, the cash tractors on the farm. When I went on the farm, there was only iron wheel tractors with spuds on.
Iron wheel tractors?
Iron
you mean they haven't got any rubber tyres?
No rubber tyres. And they had spuds on, and you used to have to put a band round the wheel, a metal band, to take it down the road, because you weren't allowed on the road with spuds on.
Because they did the iron wheels...
Well, the road up.
Yes.
Yeah.
And was it just a metal seat as well?
It was just a metal seat. Everything had a metal seat. Look, all the machines that you used, the horse rake and all had metal seats.
So if you were doing, did these tractors, were they used for long periods of time, like if you were doing up and down the rows or anything?
Well, yes, they were used all day from 7 o'clock in the morning till 4 o'clock at night.
So if you were sitting on this metal seat, were you not very stiff?
Well, you had a corn sack. You sat on a corn sack, and most of the men wore an army overcoat.
Yes.
Because that was the only method of keeping warm.
There were no covers, were there?
No covers.
You were out in the weathers.
No cabs.
No cabs, no.
You must think modern tractors are like...
They are.
Rolls-Royce cars.
Yeah. We've come a long way since them old spud wheel tractors.
Yes, yes. But that was all that was available.
That was all when I joined the farm.
Yes.
And of course there was... not very many motors. There was a few motors about, but not many motors. Mr. Stanton, my former boss, he had a shooting brake, and that was nice. I used to go with him as a child to Beaton. That was when we were on a shooting day. You had somebody to knock the pheasants out.
Yeah.
And he took me as a child to many places.
Because this is what the royals like, isn't it? When they come to stay, they reckon young Prince William is very good at the shooting.
Yes. Well, I was brought up in that, and I've always been up in it. Always been interested in shooting. And the boss was showing me the day before yesterday the Labour book of 1947, and he said that I was connected with pigeons then. And I've been pigeon shooting ever since.
I mean, when you shoot the pigeons, do you eat them?
I do, and the rest are sold. But we have always ate pigeons and rabbits, and still do to this day.
Make a nice rabbit stew.
Well, one of the things I didn't mention to you, when I went to, as a youngster, I went down to Marsh as a bird scarer.
Ah.
Scaring crows and pigeons
now,
off the crops.
How do you actually do that? Do you run about screaming?
No, I had a pair of clappers made. That was a piece of wood with two pieces hanging loosely on each side. And you wave it backwards and forwards. And that was a big job to keep the crows off the seeds.
Yes, because otherwise they'd have eaten them.
And while I was going down there, I used to see the Italian prisoners of war.
Ah.
Making the marsh road that now is, the concrete road.
Really?
They were building that.
The Italian prisoners?
Oh, Italian prisoners
of
war.
Where were they living?
They were down on the beach, Snetsham Beach, in...
huts?
Yes, huts down there.
I see.
And they were brought there each day by the lorry load, and that was their job to...
To build the road?
To build the road. And they were building that while I was down there as a youngster scaring the birds.
Now, at the end of the war, did they all go back to Italy?
I don't know what happened to them all, where they went, but they were so Italian.
They were there one minute and the next minute they were
gone.
Yeah. I see.
And one of the chappies that used to keep pigs up here on the allotments, he was one of his jobs, he was in the services, to take them from A to B. And I was very friendly with him, so I got to know about it a bit.
Yeah, I bet they weren't very happy being stuck down there in the cold, coming from a nice hot country like Italy.
I used to see them cooking on the side of the road when I went down there. They would be cooking food on the side of the road in billy cans and all that kind of thing.
So presumably there were English officers who were
Who were looking after them, yes.
They didn't just all roam around the countryside.
No, they was looked after, and that was how that road come to be there. That's been patched many times since.
Yes, it has.
And I think little bits added, hadn't it? But that main road, that was the only way that you could go down the marsh before that, was down the Hurry Home Drift. And you made your way down there, which is now down near the Albert Victor.
Yes.
That was the only way down the
marsh.
They
called that drift the drift then, didn't they?
Hurry Home Drift, yes.
And of course, people who live, who perhaps just moved to the village now, wouldn't realise that you could go from Dursingham, down Station Road, and straight, because when the bypass wasn't there, we used to be able to go straight down that road, didn't we?
Yeah.
Whereas today you can't.
Well, before the concrete road was there, we used to go down the Hurry Home Drift, open the railway gates, over the railway lines, and then carry on down the marsh.
Yes.
And we had some land down there, what was named Dursden Marsh, and we also had land down at Snettisham Marsh. But we used to bring the horses from Snettisham Marsh to Dursden Marsh to shut them up at night until the next morning.
Right, and of course...
At the Alexander Station Hotel?
No, the other way, down on Platton's. That's where their horses used to be, and we used to take them round there at night.
And was the sea line the same? I mean, you can never go down to Dursingham Beach, because there isn't really a beach, is there?
No.
Was it always marsh down there?
It's always been marsh, but the actual beach is very black mud.
Yes.
You have to go further up to get any sand.
Yes.
But I've always been down here all my life, pulling sand for when that's ready.
Now,
but now they say that you're spoiling the environment and they don't like you going down.
Because did you eat it?
Yes, and still do it this
time.
It's
very good for you, apparently, isn't it?
I mean, the bird reserve wasn't there then.
No.
We was allowed to shoot down there. And more or less shoot anywhere down on the foreshore.
And that's on that big lake place at the bottom.
Which is
of
now the
road.
Bird reserve.
So now you're not allowed to go
you're
down
not allowed shoot. To shoot down there or... You know, you have to go by the footpath down there.
Yes.
But we could go anywhere at that time of day, and did.
Yes. And of course, if Dursingham Beach had been a proper beach with sand, Dursingham would be a very different place, wouldn't it? Because
much.
You'd have seaside things and cafes and things, wouldn't you?
I always remember, every Saturday dinner time, going down now what is the concrete road, the gates were shut and locked at 12 o'clock.
Yes.
So footpath only.
So people couldn't get down there at all.
Dan Seaman used to shut the gates and lock them at 12 o'clock on Saturday dinner time.
Yes.
But of course the gates are gone and the posts have gone. And
yes,
people.
Yes. And anybody can drive down there if they go down the bypass and turn left, can't they?
They can't legally.
No, they can't legally.
No,
but they can.
There is nothing, because you see people often going down there.
If they respect their car, they wouldn't, but...
No.
But that road, Geoffrey, just to... It was basically built to extract the gravel for the runways for the all the aerodromes in West Norfolk.
Really?
Well, there was an Aetna shingle company down
yes.
there, weren't
so
there?
They used to come up Station Beach Road, also up the Marsh Road. That was the idea, was to get the...
So Dursingham provided the shingle for the runways?
Yes.
For the right.
Do you remember Hodges lorries?
Hodges lorries, yeah. Well, I knew Mr. Littleboy used to drive one.
Really?
But at one time there, I mean, you couldn't get over Dursingham Station because that was nothing but sheer mud. And they built the road, that was a track, I mean, and then they built the road because that opened it up for everybody, didn't it?
Yes.
So presumably the road was built about, what, 1942, I think, wasn't it? Because they didn't build a lot of it.
Well, I would say somewhere around, yes, probably right, yeah.
And was... I mean, did any of it get washed away during the floods?
Not the actual roadway, but further down did. Now, down near the bird reserve, the concrete all tipped up. That got
yes.
undermined. And, of course, in the 1953 floods, that came over and came right up to Dursingham Station.
Yes, that's right. And caused, I mean, so you, even you told me about that and the effect it had on the farm.
In the film, which you can see,
yes,
which I
that's
found,
right.
There's a picture of a straw stack which has floated across the concrete road, and beside the straw stack is the remains of a potato clamp or hail, which has been completely washed out.
Yes.
Yes, right.
We had cattle down there, and that washed them out and took them up into Lambert's decoy. And so, that's where they were, in the middle of that.
So, I mean, a lot of the villagers said they weren't really affected by the flood, although, you know, they were upset about people dying. But for you working on the farm that was actually based a lot of the work down there, it must have been a very upsetting and busy time for you.
Well, it was busy. The cattle had to be fed. Still down there, and they used to roll the fodder down in the boat.
Yeah.
Until the water subsided just so they could get to the wood where the cattle were in.
It was underwater for about a fortnight.
Yes.
Dreadful. So you were up and down, up and down?
Yes, they carted the food as far as they could down the marsh and then offloaded it into a boat and then they took it from there to feed the cattle.
Yes,
and because that's how it was done.
But all the crops down there were destroyed.
Yeah, yes. What there was.
Yes.
Yes. Well, it was September, so there wouldn't be a great deal of crops on the land.
Right. Yes. Anything else?
Sprout. Well, sprout. We mentioned. Sprout.
Yeah. Going down the marsh, Mr. Stanton seen he used to grow a lot of strawberries down the marsh, and we had a great deal of fun down there. Billy Andrews, the local shop, used to sell a lot of our strawberries.
Now, where was Andrews? Was that where Thaxter's is now?
No, that was on the end of Post Office Road. Andrews, what, yes. Near the Biddy shop.
Right.
Dan Andrews.
Yes. Which is now the shop where they sell material.
No, that's who Mel...
yes.
No.
Further back.
Up here, up against Walden's.
Hayden's Video, it was.
Hayden's.
Oh, that shop, yes. Yes,
they used to sell a lot of our strawberries.
Right.
And of course, there was a lot of us connected with that, picking strawberries, men and women. And we had some happy times doing that. Of course, I have a lot of work done to them. Cultivated up the centre of the rolls, chopping the weeds down, so it's quite a bit of hand hauling.
Yes, and did you have to take on extra people when the actual crops
came
up?
They did. They took on a lot of staff to pick strawberries.
Yes. And did you have people coming and buying them, like pick your own, or
no,
was it all done?
No, they was all loaded up and sold, went away on a lorry, or what was sold locally went away on a truck up in shops.
Right.
I put a little bit down about living up here at Dots Hill.
Oh, right.
When I moved in here, there was no electricity. There was a hook in the middle of this ceiling, and that was where the paraffin lamp hung on. And I always remember if my granny overfilled the lamp, the table in the middle of this room was a pine table, and you would have paraffin on the food.
Yes. So did you, and it would be dripping down and you perhaps didn't realise, you mean?
Oh, we didn't, no.
No.
There was no electricity in this house when we took on, me and the wife. We used to get the water from the well, as many other people.
Yes.
All this row used to come up
that's
the well.
That's right, I've heard all about how people got all their water.
That's no cat. So
so nobody could fall in it.
That's so the children can't fall in it.
Yes.
I also mentioned to the boss on Friday night, Mr. Bradfield's van used to come down as far as the coach. He still does run the shop in Heacham, doesn't he?
Yes.
Well, he used to have a mobile van where we got the paraffin from.
Yeah.
Lamp wick and all our bits and pieces. And we used to walk down the hill. And of course, he also sell chocolate and all, so we'd get a bar of chocolate. You know.
Did you use a lot of candles?
We had a lot of candles. And in that corner and that corner is where you're sitting was a built-in cupboard. And that's where I like spare saucepans, spare candles, lamp wick and various bits and lamp glasses was all kept in there.
Now, when you think that today, if there's a power cut, we can't do a thing. We can't listen, we can't boil the kettle, we can't listen to the television or listen to the radio or anything. But in your day, when you're talking about this, everything was done without electricity, so you weren't dependent on anything.
No,
you could do your own thing, couldn't you?
You did have to have a good store of things, especially if the weather was very bad and you couldn't get out. So everybody lived like that. They had a good store, spare things, spare food, spare bits and pieces.
And presumably spare fuel.
Yes.
Because you cooked on your fire, didn't you?
Well, I mean, you just couldn't get things like you can today. So you have to have bits and pieces so you could turn to.
Yeah.
And I remember when we first came up here, our firstborn used to sit in the high chair and he was tied in with 2 yards of lamp wick. He was tied in for meals.
Because you didn't have playpens.
Well, we had playpens, but I mean at meal times. That's one of the things we used to use, that lamp wick, and that just goes to show how much we had, you know, lamp wick, because you only used a small piece at a time.
Now, it came in big long balls of it, did it?
Yes. I mean, you would buy about 2 yards at a time of that.
And it was sort of so wide, wasn't it? A couple of inches wide.
That's right. Well, my grandparents had that, you know, in stock.
Yes.
And because if you used to open the door, the cold air...